Father, I truly do thank you. And we trust you, Father God, because you are our Father. And we trust you because we know that you know exactly where you're taking us to. And you also know exactly how it's all going to turn out. We trust you, Father God, because we don't know how to walk this walk that you have us on at this given time. But as we hold your hand and you lead us, Father, we will make it through. Tonight, I'm asking, Father God, that right now you already started in song service, preparing our heart for your word. But Father God, right now, I want you to just pour the oil of joy all over us. And let us receive what thus saith the Lord. Let us be open-minded to everything you're saying to us tonight. And Father God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the angelic host. I thank you, Father God, for all of heaven that's at our disposal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled this, Lover of My Soul. God said, I need children. Now, I want you to listen to every word. Do not start thinking about something else in your mind. You're going to miss what God is saying to you. I need children that will walk in everlasting faithfulness. These children will never turn their hearts to another. They will not have idols before them, and they will not allow the circumstances of this world rule their hearts and minds. Let's go back to what kind of children he wants. I need children that will walk in everlasting faithfulness. These children will never turn their hearts to another. They will not have idols before them, and they will not allow the circumstances of this world rule their hearts and minds. God said, this will be a troop of soldiers that I will be able to thrust into the fairest of battles, and they will prevail till the battle is won. There will be no way you will be able to tell them from my Son Jesus. Their resolve will be to win the battle at all cost. God said, when I find this troop, I will endue them with power from on high, with great signs, wonders, and miracles. I will place the anointing that destroys every yoke upon them, and I will send them into the darkest corners of the earth. They will minister my gospel in truth and clarity, and many souls will be brought into my kingdom. Now you can read that in Isaiah 27. Now remember, I told you to listen to every word that God is saying. Let's stop there. Let's go back to the first. He said, I need children that will walk in everlasting faithfulness. All right. Now let's go back down here. Children, have I not said that this was miracle working time? Have I not said the souls are slipping into the abyss daily? You ask, where are you going to find these little ones? I have been doing a mighty works on these on the backside of the desert for quite some time now, and they are ready to be brought forth to do this mighty works. You are those that I speak of. You guys sitting here tonight are the ones that God's speaking about. He starts out, I need children that walk in everlasting faithfulness, and he goes through and says what he wants. And then he said, you are the ones that I've been working on. You have been crying out to me great buckets of tears day and night. I have heard your petitions, and I'm ready to use you to conquer the darkness on all sides. Blow the trumpet in Zion and declare salvation on all sides. Blow the trumpet of Zion and declare the day of the Lord is near. And let's read Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them. Even for many successive generations, a fire devours before them and behind them, a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Then Joel chapter 3, verse 14 said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And God goes on to say, come into the everlasting city of joy and dwell there in my presence. Before I go any further, I want you to know that Joel is where God is working from right now. If you want to know where God's at, go read the book of Joel, and you'll find out exactly what's happening. And God said, come into the everlasting city of joy and dwell there in my presence. And Isaiah 35:10 said, and the ransom of the Lord shall return. That's you guys, because God has this message for you guys. And come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. God said, I so desire for each of you to personally come into the heavenlies and sit at my feet and have sweet communion with the author and finisher of your lives. Then he says, you are the ones that I'm going to do the greater works through. You guys sitting in here tonight, you are the ones that I'm going to do the greater works through. We sang that song, the first song, because of what the words that were in that song. And God loves us even in with our flaws and all of our faults. And he's calling us so he can do the greater works through us. God said, you have been crying out for a divine intervention to rip all the darkness out of you. And I have arrived to do just that. I have come on the scene to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to revive you and place you in heavenly places. Children, do you understand how in love with you that I truly am? Do you understand that when my word tells you that you're the apple of my eye, it is telling you the truth? And Deuteronomy 32:10 says, he found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And God goes on to say, love, love, love is what this day is all about. I am totally and completely in love with you. And I want to share that love with each of you on a personal level. We will do great and mighty works together. All will know that we are one and that I love you and have always loved you with an everlasting love. This is a love that cannot be watered down. This is a love that will continue to grow throughout eternity. And you can read about that in John 17:22 and 23. God says, we have been through the valleys. I'm sorry. We have been through the valleys and on the mountains tops together. We have weathered every storm the enemy has thrown at you. We are ready to take heavenly, unadulterated love to the world. This love will move the mountains in the sinner's hearts. It will melt the coldest of hearts, and my kingdom will blossom once again. God says, the seasons came and they went, but you stood strong, and you kept your eyes on the prize. There were times when you thought there was no more grace. You thought the sin was too great and my love too small. But not so. We are connected to the vine and nothing can separate. And you find about the vine in John 15:5. God said, you are lovers of my heart and we are going forth to conquer on all sides. Children, do you understand that I knew from the beginning of time that this moment in history would come? Does not my word tell you that I know those who are mine? And 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God said, this comes as a surprise to you, but not to me. I always knew each and every step you were going to take. I grew you up in my admonition and caused you to walk in my ways and to know my heart. I sent you to the lost and dying, and I gave you the truth of my heart to say at just the right moment. You constantly listened to my still small voice to make sure you were saying just the right thing, doing the right thing, and most of all, allowing my son Jesus to shine forth from you. You just do not see what I see, little ones. You see with cardinal eyes, you think with a cardinal mind, and you hear with cardinal ears. I am changing all of that. You will no longer walk in the flesh, but you shall walk in the Spirit, and you shall take the light to the nations, and you shall see a nation of peoples turn around and serve the one true living God. Yes, little ones, I know how hard this path has been. I know the side roads the enemy tried to force you into, but I also watched as you fought and you won each and every battle. Yes, there were times when you thought you could not get up one more time, but you pulled on my strength and you cried out to me and you took my hand and allowed me to pick you up, dust you off, and send you forth into yet another battle. Each battle was stronger than the one you just won, but I was building stamina in you. I was building integrity in you, and most of all, I was building total and complete endurance. Why, you ask? Because, little ones, the battles you are headed for would have destroyed you if you had not endured the battles of the past. You have the problem of looking at yourself through your eyes of flesh, but I look at you through the eyes of the Spirit, and I see what I have made. I never make a mistake. My word tells you that I know those who are mine. 2 Timothy 2:19. Meanwhile, God's firm foundation is as firm as ever. These sentences engraved on the stones, God knows who belongs to him. Spurn evil, all you who name God as God. God says, do you remember the one time I had to take you back to the potter's wheel and remold and remake you into the image I desired? He was laughing when he said this. Remember how you kicked and screamed and thought the molding process would never end? Children, I had to remold and remake, for the enemy had totally and completely marred my original image. But look at you today. You are the apple of my eye, and you are strong towers that others will run into and be changed. They will see Jesus in you, and they will feel my love like never before. You see, the potter's wheel experience was for your benefit, little ones. In Jeremiah 18, verse 1 says, God told Jeremiah, up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say. So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there working away at his wheel. Whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you're working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. Then God's message came to me, can't I do just as this potter does? People of Israel, God's decree, watch this potter in the same way that this potter works his clay, I work on you, people of Israel. In Isaiah 64:8-9 says, still God, you are our Father. We are the clay and you're our potter. All of us are what you made us. Don't be too angry with us, O God. Don't keep a permanent account of wrongdoing. Keep in mind, please, we are your people, all of us. I wrote, if there is any lesson to be learned from the wheel, it is that God can accomplish his purpose without any knowledge, let alone consent on the part of the people he uses in the process. In Revelation 19:6-9 says, then I heard something that sounded like a large crowd of people. It was as loud as crashing waves or claps of thunder. The people were saying, hallelujah. Our Lord God rules. He is the all-powerful. Let us rejoice and be happy and give God glory. Give God glory because the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the Lamb's bride has made herself ready. Fine linen was given to the bride for her to wear. The linen was bright and clean. The fine linen means the good things that God's holy people did. Then the angel said to me, write this. Great blessing belongs to those who are invited to the wedding meal of the Lamb. Then the angel said, these are the true words of God. At home, you need to read John 17, verses 1 through 26. And that tells you how much Jesus really does love you. God said, this moment, this second, come away, my beloved. Come away, my beloved ones. Come take my hands of love that will lead, guide, and direct each and every footstep from the second forward. Come, little ones, the wedding has already begun. Join hands with me. You know, God, first of all, he poured out his wrath upon us. He chided with us for a season, then he poured his wrath out upon us. And now he says, we're ready. We're ready to go forth and be the bride that he's called us forth to be. We're no longer going to wear rotten, torn clothes, but we will wear the white dress that God has called us forth to wear. We need to understand that God has already called us from the backside of the desert, and he has us in the forefront now. We're going to be in the very center of what God is doing. And we no longer look at what happened in the past. We no longer sit around and fret, am I going to go back to my past? We need to understand that God has remolded and remade us into the true image that we were supposed to be from the very beginning. And God knows that he can use each and every one of us, because I'm hearing him say we are sturdy vessels of honor that he can now work through. Yours is not the reason to wonder why. And yours is not to sit and talk about what God just said to you. Yours is just, you are just to go and be the bride and give God all honor and all glory. If you could just understand the depth of his love, the true depth of his love, not the surface love that you show to each other, but the depth of God's love that comes out of his very, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. His love comes out of his every pore of his body. It is his entire heart that he is pouring out to us tonight. I'm saying this, we as a body of Christ, we've sat on the sidelines long enough. We have been wanting to be pampered. And God's done with all that. But he said in the beginning, this church, we are the people that God wants to use right now. I was wanting to look up that scripture in Philadelphia, in Revelation, where it's called about the Philadelphia church, because we are the Philadelphia church. If somebody will look that up, I'd appreciate it. Because God tells us everything he's going to do. And then he said, you ask, where are you going to find these little ones? God said, I have been doing a mighty works on these on the backside of the desert for quite some time now. How many of you have been feeling like you're on the backside of the desert? You feel like you're just so far back there, God's even forgot where you went back there. And he says, and now they are ready to be brought forth to do this mighty works. And you are those that I speak of. That right there, you know, when God said that, just undid me so much that I just had to sit and cry. Because we serve such an awesome God. We really don't give him the credit that's due him. We really don't allow others to see the love of Christ like we ought. We are still too busy worrying about our own self and what people are going to say about us. And we just don't understand the fullness that we have of Jesus Christ within us. Okay, Revelation 3, 7 through 13. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? Because God told me we were the Philadelphia church. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come in the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. One time I heard a teaching on the churches. I said, God, what church is the Lighthouse? He said, you are the Philadelphia church. 2 years ago, when everything was going crazy, I said, God, what church are we? He said, you're still the Philadelphia church. About a month ago, I went back and sat beside Brother Christopher, and he said, God's telling me to tell you that we're still the Philadelphia church. And God told me, he tells me many, many times, I've opened a door that no man can close. And each one of you need to understand, you sit under a special anointing from God. And you can brag about that anointing because you are the Philadelphia, you belong to the Philadelphia church. And God is ready to move in your life. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you did. God told us in his word that he knew everything, but he's ready now to use each one of you. We sang that song, I Will Go Anywhere, is that what he said? This morning, God asked us, would go. He made a call to us. He said, will you go wherever I tell you to go? Tonight we sang a song and we told God we would go wherever he told us to go. And now God is calling us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return again, but I do know that we are working on the second coming of Jesus. And I do know that God is doing a powerful work in the body of Christ. And God already, in like this song here we have for a month now, that song and that sign just really bothers me. And I know we had to get rid of it. And so finally the other night, God told me what the new sign should say. And so we've already ordered it, right? So it should be in pretty soon. See, you always have to have your mind on Christ. Always walking in the Spirit. Constantly listening to what he wants to say to you. So he can lead God and direct you. You know, he didn't say to me that sign's finished. I just knew my spirit, when I looked at it, it was repulsive to me, and I knew I had to get it down from there. But I didn't know what God wanted to put up there. And finally he told me the other night, I think it's going to say the glory is here. Is that what it says? And it says rejoice, right? The glory is here. Rejoice. We're Brother Allen's getting us a sign ready to put above our door that says when you enter in, what does the sign say? You're entering into the glory. Huh? What? Oh, you're entering into the portals of heaven. You know, he told me to put that sign above the door and we had to order letters to do it. He told me to take this sign down and put up a sign saying the glory is here. Rejoice. Tonight, he's calling us to the marriage supper. How much more in the Spirit do you want to be? It's line upon line and precept upon precept. I know sometimes if you're like me, you don't feel worthy of the love that God pours out upon you. I know you feel like sometimes you've just really let God down. That you didn't do everything you possibly could do to do the things he's called you forth to do. But I'm hearing God say that he knows our frame. And he knows that what he's called us to do, we will do. And he's not ashamed of us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you might look at yourself in the mirror and be ashamed of your own self. Or even be sitting in your prayer chair, you know, and being ashamed of what you did or didn't do for God. But God doesn't look at us through our eyes. He looks at us through his eyes. And tonight I'm hoping that you can look at yourself through the eyes of Jesus and understand that he knows all your flaws. He knows your entire makeup. But he's calling you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's saying the table's spread. Will you come and dine? So this is what the altar call is all about tonight. He wants you to come and dine with him. He wants you to accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He wants you to be saved when you accept an invitation. Father God, I've come through the door. I made it before it was closed. And I'm going to do whatever you call me for to do from this moment forth. And I'm going to do it with purity of heart because you know my heart. And you're the one who called me here tonight, Father God. I didn't. You're the one who called me to come to the marriage supper. So the altar's open. If you want to accept the invitation to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, please allow God to pour his total and complete love into you. Please don't leave here unchanged.